जय गोपी जन बालबा गिरिवरदारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी दयारादमादव कुंज बिहारी राधा जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 हरे
हरे राम राम
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we're continuing the chapter entitled The Manus, Administrators of the Universe. And the verse that's on the board is the first of the verses that have been allocated today to be covered. But unfortunately, that verse does not have a purport. So the normal etiquette is for the verse, the first verse that has the purport to be chanted together. So I'll read the verse that's on the board, and the verse that we'll chant together is text 32. The verses that I'll be going through today are text 30 through 33, which brings us to the end of this chapter, the man who's the administrators of the universe. But 32 will be the verse by etiquette that we'll chant together. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimachman Paraswami Tinamine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nivishe Sunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarine Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas Chakripa Sandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'll read text 30 and 31 and then we can do text 32 together. So, text 30. Tatrapi yagne bhagavan harinyam harime dahasa hariniti arto yena gajendro mochito grahat. In the translation, also in this manvantar, the Supreme Lord Vishnu took birth from the womb of Harini, the wife of Harimedha, and he was known as Hari. Hari saved his devotee Gajendra, the king of the elephants, from the mouth of a crocodile. Text 31. Sri Rajavacha Vadarayana etate shrotam ichamahe vayam Hari yata gajapatim graha grasham amumuchat. And the translation of text 31. King Parikshit said, my lord, Badarayani, we wish to hear from you in detail how the king of the elephants, when attacked by a crocodile, was delivered by Hari. And text 32, we can chant responsibly. So I see everybody has a means for reading the verse. Okay. So, Tatkatasu Mahat Punyam. Danyam svashtayanam subdam yatra yatro tamashloko bhagavan gyate hari tat katatsu mahat punyam danyam svashtayanam subam yatra yatro tamashloko bhagavan gyate hari tat katasu mahat punyam danyam svasyanam subam yatra yatro tamashloko Bhagavan Gyate Hari. Please chant. Tat Katasu Mahat Punyam. Danyam Svastyanam Subam. Yatra Yatra Tamashloko. Bhagavan Gyate Hari. Tat katasu mahat punyam danyam svashtayanam subam yatra yatra tamashloko Vankya te hari. Tat katasu mahat punyam. Danyam svashayanam subam. Yatra yatra tamashloko. Bhagavan giyate hari. Okay, so the word for word. Tat katasu. In those narrations. Mahat, great. Punyam, pious. Danyam, glorious. Svastyanam, auspicious. Shubham, all good. Yatra, whenever. Yatra, wherever. Uttamashloka, the Lord who is known as Uttamashloka, he who is described by transcendental literature. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gyate is glorified. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. Any literature or narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttamashloka, is described and glorified is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world simply by describing Krishna. We have published many books, including Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in 17 volumes, 400 pages each, as well as Bhagavad Gita and the Nectar of Devotion. We are also publishing Srimad Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. Wherever a speaker holds discourses from these books and an audience hears them, this will create a good and auspicious situation. Therefore, the preaching of Krishna consciousness must be done very carefully by the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, especially the sannyasis. This will create an auspicious atmosphere. And then I'll read text 33. Sri Suta Uvacha, Parikshit Saivam Satu Badarayani, Prayopavishtena Katta Sukodita, Uvacha Vipra Pratinandya Pativam, Muda Muninam Sadasi Sma Srinvatam. So the translation, Sri Suta Goswami said, O Brahmanas, when Parikshit Maharaj, who was awaiting impending death, thus requested Sukadev Goswami to speak, Sukadev Goswami, encouraged by the king's words, offered respect to the king and spoke with great pleasure in the assembly of sages who desired to hear him. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 1st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Manus, Administrators of the Universe. So, I'm going to focus on text 32 because that's the text with the purport. So, here we find King Parikshit. He's making a generalization, and that generalization is that any literature or a narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described and glorified, and these are his words, is great, glorious, auspicious, and all good. So, just subsequent to this, there's mention that Srila Suta Goswami, he's telling us that these words by King Parikshit were encouragement for Sukadev Goswami to speak. So much so that he offered his obeisances to King Parikshit. And bearing in mind that the king was awaiting impending death, and Sukadev Goswami, after offering those respects, he proceeded to speak with great pleasure in the assembly of the sages, who actually also were desiring to hear him speak. So we're getting a hint of what Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport of an auspicious situation being created. There's a desire on the part of the sages to hear him speak. Sukadev Goswami is feeling great encouragement by the wonderful words that have come from Parikshit Maharaj. So now, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he's listing, it's like an itinerary, he lists that literature or those narrations in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is being described. And his list is, I guess, fairly condensed considering all the books that he's written. The main one, so he lists the 17 volumes of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhagavad Gita, the Nectar of Devotion, and the 60 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Srila Prabhupada right away gives a very profound reason for the why the holding of discourses from these books are very much related to this idea of an auspicious situation being created. So there's a discourse means that there's a speaker, there's an audience, and that speaker may be lecturing or merely carrying out a conversation from these books. So now, the creation of an auspicious situation begins with Sukadev Goswami. And early on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we know that Srila Suta Goswami offers his obeisances to Sukadev Goswami because that's his spiritual master. And he mentions that Srila Sukadev Goswami has got a particular ability, and these are his words. He has the ability, his speaking has the ability, and the words are, to enter the hearts of all. And that's from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the second chapter and the third verse. So the reason for this is that Srila Sukadev Goswami and this is also according to Srila Suta Goswami, so you learn a great deal about a personality when another great personality is talking about him, and it's very interesting, the disciple is talking about his spiritual master. So Srila Suta Goswami says of Srila Sukadev Goswami that he holds great compassion for gross materialists who are struggling to cross over the darkest region of material existence. So, and he says further of Srila Sukadev Goswami that he's a thoroughly realized spiritual master. So he's thoroughly realized on the Vedanta Sutra, which were compiled by Srila Vyasadev, and Srila Vyasadev is both the spiritual master and the father of Srila Sukadev Goswami. And Srila Suta Goswami says of his spiritual master Sukadev Goswami that he also subsequently fully realized the a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the setting, so to speak, for the auspicious situation that Srila Prabhupada's describing. The understanding of the position of Srila Sukadev Goswami, and as kindly explained and also being glorified by Srila Suta Goswami. So now the creation of an auspicious atmosphere has to do with the speaker's view of the spiritual master. So it can be him, her. The speaker's view of the spiritual master is the beginning part of creating an auspicious situation. So this leads to the question of, you know, what's that proper view? So we got some hint of it by, or not hint, but a nice picture of that view just by hearing what Srila Suta Goswami says of Sukadev Goswami. But here's Narada Muni encapsulating what's the proper view that the speaker would hold of his spiritual master. So I'll read the Sanskrit. This comes from the 7th canto, the 15th chapter, and the 26th verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we've covered this in our classes together, but it's a very nice encapsulation of the proper mood, or the proper view that the speaker needs to hold of his spiritual master. Yasyat shakshat bhagavana dipa prade gurau, martyasat di shrutam tasya, survam kunjara sochavat. So, the Gyana Dipa Prade Guru is that the spiritual master is enlightening with the torch of knowledge. So the translation of this verse, Narada Muni presenting the proper view that one can hold of one's spiritual master, the spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord, because he gives transcendental knowledge for enlightenment. And then the last two lines of this particular verse by Narada Muni, or his speaking, outlining this proper view that one can hold of one's spiritual master as the speaker. The last two lines give the opposite view and the consequences of holding the opposite view. So by implication, you know, it would be how an inauspicious situation would be created, just holding the opposite view. And here's the opposite view. Consequently, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. So, this implies that the cleansing effect that comes from the words of the spiritual master, just like Srila Suta Goswami referred to Srila Sukadev Goswami's words as being able to enter the heart by holding the incorrect view, the view that one's spiritual master is an ordinary human being, it doesn't allow for the cleansing effect on the heart that come from the words of the spiritual master. So, the creation of the auspicious atmosphere in a lecture or an ongoing conversation between a speaker and some audience, be that audience one or many, is due to the speaker honoring the spiritual master as having a status equal with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's a very high regard that one has to have. So Srila Prabhupada puts it sort of nicely. I found these words struck me. It becomes the duty of the speaker or the disciple to accept the spiritual master, and these are Srila Prabhupada's words, as superhuman man. And anyway, I think the words struck me because There's a little visual that I got in Gita Nagari when we were visiting. A family had come, all the children, we were walking to our class, and a mother was holding a very young child, and so she was explaining that the family had just moved, wanting to live in a rural Hare Krishna community. They'd just been living in Mayapur. And then the little boy got down from the mother's arms, and I laughed because there's this teeny little child with a little blue cape billowing out behind him as he's running. So, you know, there's somebody emulating being a superman. So the spiritual master is the superhuman man that doesn't need the cape, but has that wonderful ability that the words that are coming from the mouth can enter the heart. So now, this particular terminology, or defining the status of the spiritual master, just to reference it, was in a personal letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to two of his disciples, Brahmananda and Gargamuni, 1970. So, now there's a distinction one can make between the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that distinction is, there's two Sanskrit words that explain it very nicely. The spiritual master is Sevaka Bhagavan, which means he's the servitor personality of God. It's still his position is serving the Supreme Personality of God. So he, from the disciple's view, he has equal status with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but his role is actually remains as servitor to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Sevaya Bhagavan, means he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is to be worshipped. So a nice distinction, but from the disciples' view, from the speaker's view, for the speaker to be able to create an auspicious situation, the spiritual master is seen as having an equal status with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, now, there's a second component to the creation of an auspicious situation in conducting an ongoing conversation that's drawing from the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita. And that is that this point of the description and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's, I found myself drawing from Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. I find myself often mentioning him because I think the persons one gets exposed to in one's Krishna conscious life that leave a major impression on the mind, one always holds great regard for that personality. So Gopi Pranadana is one such personality. He's no longer with us, but he did a commentary on Srila Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha. So he says that the whole substance of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the revelation of Krishna and his energies. So hence this idea that there's description and glorification, because that's the entire content of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's revealing Krishna and it's revealing his energies. So so this is something of how we find that the description of Krishna creates an auspicious situation. And that auspicious situation, through the description or the glorification of Krishna, allows for a very personal experience. So generally, I've attended many lectures given by professors who are discussing something in relation to photography, visuals, and some have been technical, some have been, you know, relatively personal, but never does one have like a supremely personal experience. And this is very interesting because just by hearing the descriptions or the glorifications of Krishna as he's revealing himself through the Bhagavatam creates a personal experience. So to look at this a little bit. So Srila Suta Goswami, he describes that this Bhagavad Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is as brilliant as the sun. So this beautiful simile that's used. And it arose just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode. So the beginning of Kali Yuga. So it meant that Krishna departed, and with him departed all knowledge and religion. So it's the beginning of Kali Yuga. So Srila Suta Goswami goes on to say that persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali, because remember, there's dense darkness. Krishna's left with all religion and all knowledge. So there's dense darkness that's existing in this age. And Srila Suta Goswami goes on to say that persons who've lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So, and here's the particular text. I'll read it in Sanskrit because it's so significant to our discussion. This is from the first canto and the third chapter and the 43rd verse, describing the particular power of the Srimad Bhagavatam to break down this dense darkness that's present in the heart. So, Krishna sva damo pagate dharma gyanadibi saha kalau nasta dirsham esha purnarko duno ditaha. So, this Purana, this Srimad Bhagavatam, gives light as the direct representation of Krishna. So the person is not present, has departed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has departed to his abode. But here is the representation of Lord Krishna present in the Bhagavatam. So now, the reason this Bhagavatam is the representation of Lord Krishna, even though he's departed to his eternal abode, where he's functioning with his internal energy, with his eternal associates, and all this took place at the beginning of Kali Yuga, is that prior to Lord Krishna leaving, he empowered Srila Vyasadeva via Narada to compile the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this was the particular great kindness of Lord Krishna, because these messages are then going to be able to assist all the entities who are trapped by material energy. So they're not in the internal energy of Krishna, just in the external material energy of Krishna. So they're going to get a chance to see beyond the subtle mind, the intelligence, the ego. So this is what is meant by the persons who've lost their vision. So the vision has been lost, and this beautiful Bhagavatam, the representation of Lord Krishna, allows for that vision to come again. So now that vision that's been lost is getting a chance to know real religion, which means that one can come to know Krishna through this representation of Krishna, this Srimad Bhagavatam. So, great kindness on the part of Krishna. So, now at this juncture in the discussion, we can say Srila Sukadev Goswami, the son of Srila Vyasadev, in his turn, he's delivering that vision to the great emperor, Maharaj Parikshit. And this is in a situation, so again, it's like the speaker and the audience, and that audience is very daunting. They are actually all the sages. So Sukadev Goswami, his audience is Maharaj Parikshit, who's posing the questions, so it's an ongoing conversation, but the audience is larger. There's all the sages that are assembled on the bank of the Ganges. So, and interestingly enough, the particularly pertinent part of this auspicious situation is that Maharaj Parikshit is awaiting death. So he's actually not taking any food or drink. He's purely listening to, and from Sukadev Goswami, who we hear he's understanding as a completely bona fide spiritual master. And this auspicious situation that Srila Prabhupada describes is that the messages of Lord Krishna are being received by the by Srila Sukadev Goswami, who is representing the messages of Lord Krishna. So, now, there's an eternal truth that's been pursued in this kind of auspicious situation. And that is a very simple thing, that at the time of death, one needs to chant the name of Govinda or Hari. So, in this particular situation, that's precisely what's being done. the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam are being given by Srila Sukadev Goswami, and Maharaj Parikshit, the emperor of the world, he's actually hearing those messages, and he's engaging in a conversation with Srila Sukadev Goswami. So both the speaker and the receiver of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam are being delivered by the same medium. So, finally, to echo Srila Sukadev Goswami's statement in this particular verse that we're focusing on today, where he's saying that any narration in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka, is described and glorified is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good. There's another part in the Srimad Bhagavatam where he says something very similar. And this is also pertinent to our discussion today. These are his words. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Godhead, and it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. And that was from Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, the third chapter, and the 41st verse. So very similar to what's been said here. so in the Sanskrit of that particular verse, he says, Idam Bhagavatam Nama, this book containing the narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. And he calls it a supplement to the Vedas, the Puranam Brahma Amitam, and it's the incarnation of Lord Krishna, Uttama Shloka Charitam. So, means the personality of Godhead and his activities are compiled in this book. So, it is for all these reasons that the Srimad Bhagavatam can create that auspicious situation. It should be worshipped as respectfully as we worship Lord Krishna. So the consequence of this worship of the Bhagavatam with the proper understanding that we've been describing is that we derive the ultimate blessings of Lord Krishna through this careful study that we do every day, a little portion of it, carefully scrutinizing it, very patiently looking at it. And so the Bhagavatam is carrying all the transcendental blessings of Lord Krishna that we can expect from his personal contact, provided one adheres to the two important components mentioned that allow for this auspicious situation to be created. And in particular, understanding the Bhagavatam through the self-realized spiritual master. So those are some simple thoughts on this verse that we looked at today that had the purport. So if there's any thoughts to expand the discussion, please go ahead. Krishna.
Hi, Krishna. So you were saying that the one spiritual master is on the same level as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My question is, if you look at your own spiritual master on that same level, what would be the correct view of someone else's spiritual master, or a spiritual master who is not your own formal diksha guru?
So the question is, if one understands that the spiritual master is on that very elevated level, equivalent to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then how does one view spiritual masters that one doesn't see as one's own spiritual master? So, the position of the spiritual master remains identical by virtue of the status of the spiritual master, irrespective of whether one is personally receiving the messages of the Bhagavatam from a particular spiritual master. So the particular spiritual master has the ability for his messages to enter one's heart, and very powerfully so, because one has that relationship with him where one has a very personal connection. It's a more intimate kind of connection. But in the same way, spiritual masters that one may not be having that same very direct personal connection to or close relationship with, the same potency is there. Other spiritual masters have the ability also to deliver messages that can enter one's heart and, you know, revive that vision of Lord Krishna. So the regard that one has for one's own spiritual master has to be extended to every other spiritual master because of their same status and their same ability to be able to deliver those messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that are dissipating that ignorance that's present. So, the same regard. But one has a special relationship with one's own spiritual master. One has a very intimate connection with one's own spiritual master, and one's own spiritual master personally knows one's mind and has the because of his personal understanding, he has the very deliberate and kind way of addressing the needs of the disciple in a very personal manner. And the needs meaning both on the spiritual level, on the material level, it's highly personal. So that's just the small distinction, a very big one for oneself personally, but the distinction between one's own spiritual master and any other spiritual master, but in terms of status, they're equal, and one's regard can be equal. One offers great respect, sees the personality as being of an equal status with the Supreme Personality of God at every spiritual master.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. If I recall, you were saying that Srila Sukadeva Goswami, the reason that his words are able to touch the heart so deeply is because of his great compassion for those who are grossly afflicted by the material world. And I couldn't recall exactly how that, what you said. So could you say it again? And also, could you explain or help me understand, is it possible for us to emulate this, or is what's true for him can be true for all servants of the Lord?
Okay. So the reference was made here to the statement made by Srila Suta Goswami of his spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami. And the statement he made was that Srila Sukadeva Goswami has the ability by his words to enter the hearts of all, meaning every single person. And mention was made that also by Srila Suta Goswami talking of his spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami, that he has great compassion for all the materialists who are struggling to get out of the dense darkness of ignorance that's present in the Kali Yuga. So your question was whether all persons could come to have this view of their spiritual master being compassionate, or whether all persons could come to have the compassion of the spiritual master. I wasn't quite clear which of the two.
Can everyone come to this point of compassion?
Okay. All right. Well, the criterion for being compassionate is that one has come to realize one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through one's spiritual master and one's relationship with one's spiritual master. So having gradual realization of that relationship means that one is going past the constraints that are there from the mind or the intelligence or the ego. So those constraints limit one's ability to be compassionate to others greatly. On the level of the mind, there'll be feelings and thoughts related to another human being, let's say, or even an animal. And those feelings are not necessarily always positive feelings, because the mind has got certain tendencies. So the mind has its likes and its dislikes. So, and then the intelligence, where it hasn't actually been purified through spiritual knowledge and the beautiful messages of the Bhagavatam, the intelligence often even takes a backseat to the mind. So one can't even talk about, you know, having kindness to or compassion to other entities as long as that obstruction is there of the learned patterns in the mind. So the position of compassion is something that comes slowly over time as these beautiful messages allow for the cleansing of the mind. They allow for the cleansing and spiritualizing of the intelligence, so that one starts to see everything in relation to the great, pure, auspicious, glorious Lord Krishna and one's spiritual master. So when one starts to hold that view, the intelligence then works in accord with that view. So that means one is spared from the pushing that comes from the mind. And that eventually, my spiritual master has referred to it as a kind of dissolution of the mind that takes place. So it no longer has any influence on one's view of others. So the compassion starts to manifest where one sees things in proper perspective, that other entities also have that relationship with the great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good Lord Krishna. So when one is holding that view, then it's just very natural that one can actually see some of the suffering of those who are at the mercy of the mind and the tendencies of the mind. So only as one is by the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of the Bhagavatam, getting a chance to move that obstruction of the mind out of the way, does it come that understanding of other entities' sufferings related to the mind. So oneself starts to become freed from those entangled patterns, those patterns that keep one bound up, that one can't escape from. Only with that, those, it's described as like ropes that get loosened up, only then can the compassion come, because one understands, oh, somebody else is completely bound up and suffering so dismally. They're completely at the mercy of the mind. So yes, one can come to that position, and it's by the kindness of one's spiritual master and Lord Krishna, and particularly through these beautiful messages and the messages that one can imbibe very personally, even by, you know, as was the topic of this class, attending a discourse such as we attending this morning. So, response of some sort.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.